everybody, welcome to the show. This is your host, Hunter McWaters. Good to be with you, and this week I am joined by Dylan Dietz. Now, Dylan might be slightly polarizing of a figure, or at least I feel like people really like what he's doing and think it's funny, or they can't stand him, but that's just, you know, that's how he is. He's a self-professed comedian in the hunting space, so, you know, he focuses on hunting content, but from a kind of, lighthearted, or I guess comedic, kind of self-deprecating point of view. So definitely different, which is good. You know, it's good to have different voices. And like I said, you know, or like we get into in the podcast, you know, hunting is a very serious endeavor. And I myself have been guilty and probably am guilty of, you know, being very serious in the field. Not that there's anything wrong with that, you know, but sometimes we do need to lighten up and have a little fun. And I do think there is room in our industry to bring in some humor. Now, I also do think that there's a line there that we need to be careful and not cross, because we definitely don't want to be off-putting to non-hunters. And, you know, while I do think there is room in the industry and in the space for this kind of content, and, you know, hats off to Dylan for putting himself out there and doing this kind of stuff. It's not my particular style, you know. But like I said, you know, I think that having talked to Dylan and having done some hunts this year recently with some friends, and kind of being able to lighten the mood a little bit and have a little bit more fun, there's definitely room for this kind of stuff. And I do think it's important to not lose sight of the fact that, you know, this is a hobby, a sport, whatever you want to call it, a passion that is something that should be enjoyed. And you don't want to put so much pressure on yourself that you're not enjoying it. Now, it's a little bit different from my perspective, you know, if you're kind of doing it professionally and creating content. So, but, you know, for most of us who hunting is just kind of our release, our me time, our fun, I think there are a lot of guys who put too much unneeded pressure on themselves to go out and, you know, I see it a lot now with guys who feel like they have to go out and film their hunts when there's really no reason to, because you don't have any true, you know, plan or desire or goal to, like, become a filmmaker. Sometimes you just need to go out and enjoy yourself. So, anyway, it's definitely, as you can tell from my rambling here, a little bit of a complicated issue in my mind, because, like I said, I do think there is room for humor in what we do, and I do think some of us need to lighten up a little bit, possibly myself included at some points. I also think we need to be careful with humor. That being said, I thought it would be interesting to have a conversation with Dylan. You know, he's a good guy, and he's just trying to do what he loves and have fun doing it, like most of us are. So hope you guys enjoy this conversation with Dylan. Also, a couple things just to update you guys. I released a podcast last week. It was a solo podcast where I recapped my recent Audad hunt with my friends from Canis Athlete. And I also went into some really important or exciting announcements that I hope you guys will go back and look at that listen to that podcast and listen to those announcements that I got about, specifically about one new partner that I'm really excited about to be working with this year. But also recently I opened up a question on my Instagram about podcast guest requests, and I actually got a ton of responses to that, but a lot of the responses I got were guys I already have had on the show, guys like Brian Barney, Dan Staten, Elk Shape, Brian Call, Ryan Lampers, can't think of much, Donnie Vincent, Guys like this who I have already had on the show. So I would encourage you, especially if you're newer, you know, this podcast has been going for almost 4 years now, I think, close to 200 episodes. So go back and dig through the library. There's some amazing conversations that I've had with some of the biggest names in the industry. Going back to even like, I think I did an episode with Brian Barney, like my sixth episode ever. So go back and dig through the episode library. There's a ton of good stuff. And as always, I'm going to continue trying to bring good guests on and have really engaging conversations. So thank you if you've been listening for a long time. Welcome if you're new. Please share the show with friends and family. Leave me a written review on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to YouTube. I'm always going to say that. And follow along on Instagram at The Hunter's Quest. But if you are new and you're mainly a podcast listener, definitely go over and check out my YouTube channel. Search The Hunter's Quest. Tons of great hunt films and other cool content on there. One more thing on that note, I want to just mention real quick. I don't know if you guys have even seen it, but Instagram has a new thing called broadcast channels, and it's basically almost like a big group chat with it's open to anyone. So I started one. Several other creators and companies I know have started them. And it's just a way to kind of build community, have some more kind of direct interaction, you know, through messaging and sharing content and stuff like that back and forth with each other. So just think of it like almost as like a big group chat. And if you guys are interested in that, definitely go onto Instagram and join that channel. I will put another story up soon, asking for more folks to join, but if you're into that, go ahead and join, and you can stay up to date with everything that's going on. If you're going to be at the expo this week, hit me up, send me a message on Instagram. Let's link up. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a fun old time out in Salt Lake City. Other than that, guys, I appreciate your support, and we'll see you on the next one. Thanks. Hey everybody, welcome to the Hunter's Quest podcast. This is your host, Hunter McWaters. And today I am joined by Mr. Dylan Dietz. Did I say that right? Dietz?
Yep, you said it correct. You're nice. One of, you know, 10% of people get it right. So congratulations.
How do
you're in the upper
say
percentile,
it?
Dude.
Like Dietz or something? Yeah.
I used to perform music live and I went by Dietzy.
Okay.
That was like a nickname in high school. And my first show ever, get up there and the announcer says, all right, first up to the stage, Dietzy. So I've been called Dietzy a lot too, which I'm not as big a fan of that name.
Yeah.
But Dietz is correct. You got it right, brother.
Awesome, man. And you're in Montana, is that right?
Yes, sir. Kalispell, Montana, the northwest corner.
Okay.
20 minutes from Glacier National Park. It's a beautiful place. It's full though, so we're not accepting anyone else at this time.
Yeah, no, I got you. Is it it's pretty cold up there right now, huh?
Yeah, it's freezing. I don't know if you can see out the window at all.
Ooh, that's pretty though.
It's gorgeous, yeah.
Is that your backyard or?
Yep.
What's back there? Is that public land or is that somebody own that or what?
Yeah, so up in that side is a state park.
Oh, cool.
We've got an awesome archery course up there, Lone Pine State Park. It's great. And then the rest is kind of private, but seen a lot of elk, black bears, and there's two giant whitetails that hang out up in this just from like May 15th, or like the August 15th to the end of August, there's two giant whitetails that hang out together.
Nice.
And then they just disappear. So I've been trying to get shed hunting permission up there for a long time to no avail.
Oh, okay. Cool, man. So, I don't know. Some people have probably seen your stuff. Your handle on Instagram is just your name, but you are kind of trying to bring some humor, I guess, into the world of hunting, because it can be a little serious, and it is a serious thing. But there definitely needs to be room for like some more humor, I think, sometimes, and do people, you know, need to kind of, some people maybe need to lighten up a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I definitely am guilty of that. I can, you know, I can get out there and get pretty serious, and sometimes it seems like I'm forgetting to have fun, although it's just a different type of fun. But yeah, what's kind of your if people haven't really come across your stuff, I guess how would you describe kind of what you're doing?
I mean, that's a great way to put it. Like, this is a serious, like, taking an animal's life is a heavy-handed, reverent thing, right? And most hunters feel that way. But so while hunting can be, yes, a serious thing, I'm just trying to take myself less seriously because that was killing a lot of the joy for me for a lot of years, I was trying to be, badass hunter guy like everybody else. And not to like get a following or anything like that. It was more of like, if I'm not a good hunter, then who am I? And then just one day kind of realized, like, thinking back on how many hunts I'd been on personally, where because I was so focused on trying to fill a tag, I was not having fun. And I would argue that, everyone says antlers are meat. I think above both of those is fun. Like, we all got into hunting for one reason or another. Our dad took us, an uncle, mom, whatever. But we continued hunting because we realized this is the funnest thing on planet Earth. And it's, wow, my soul feels lighter after I come home. My family's better because, I just spent a couple of days in the wilderness, in the quiet. And so that's the biggest thing for me. I was like, wait a minute, I don't have to be like some, top 1% hunter to tell people that this is awesome. And so I just started making fun of myself, primarily for being a terrible elk hunter. And those videos just kind of took off, and we've been doing this 3 years now. And yeah, the brands came knocking, which was the last thing I ever expected. Like, I thought you had to be this guy or this girl, like the killer of killers, to get brand deals and work with companies and go to events. And so it's been cool to see the hunting industry kind of being like, oh, this is refreshing. And there's a handful of us that are more focused on like the comedy side, like Ben Dedamonte, Shed Crazy. He's the trailblazer for all of it, and just show it. He's cool too because he's an excellent hunter and he's super funny. Whereas I'm just funny sometimes, depending on who you ask, So I don't know. I don't know if that answers your question, but no, I'm just trying to take some of the hot air out of our space, and remind people that man, hunting is fun, and that's enough for me. Yes, we hunt for antlers, and yes, we hunt for meat. Those go hand in hand in my mind. But this is the funnest thing in the world that we do, and that's why we spend so much money on it. That's why we commit so much time to it. And I feel like some people have lost that, like the jovial levity side of, sharing a tent with your buddies and just the fun of it all,
For
because we're
sure.
also worried about filling tags. And obviously we want to fill tags. Like, yes, I'd be lying to everyone if I was like, I don't care if I never fill a tag again. No, I absolutely want to fill tags, but I guess I have found, like, this last year I had my best season of my entire life, filled 5 big game tags. And I think that comes when you're just enjoying it more,
That there is something to be said about that. I think in anything you do, you know, putting undue pressure on yourself does not equate to success. I mean, there's kind of a balance there. I mean, like you have to have
Sure.
some pressure on yourself, or else you just wouldn't do anything. But I saw that firsthand on like a mule deer hunt I did this year. And it was the first time I'd ever gone on a stalk where, because it was 9 o'clock on opening morning, and like I had this buck bedded, and he was a buck I would be happy with and be proud of, but it wasn't like a monster or anything. And I was just genuinely like, I'm gonna do this stock. If it works out, sick. If it doesn't, I do not care because it's 9 o'clock on opening morning and we just got a ton of snow and it was like, you know. So, and everything went perfect. And I enjoyed it way more because I wasn't like, usually I'm, you know, freaking out. And there's definitely like, you know, my situation, you know, I'm probably under like more pressure than some people. And I've never from the beginning claimed to be some badass hunter. I've always been very open about the fact that like, I'm learning Western hunting. I've only been doing it for like, I've only been mountain hunting for like 5 years. So I'm just trying to be really authentic, but just like anything, you know, I'm competitive. Like you said, we want to fill tags. That's why we're out there. And, you know, and also trying to create content and just my personality. And so I hunted a couple times this year or recently with a good friend of mine who, is just like, I'm just laughing, just thinking about him. And it's definitely like a different experience when you can just kind of like just chill out and just enjoy a little bit. So definitely something to be said for that. So yeah, man. I'd love to dig into just hear a little bit more about kind of your journey and your story, like, 'cause I think you're not from out west, correct? You're from somewhere else, right?
I am from out west, so I
Okay.
born and raised in Bonners Ferry, Idaho, which
Okay.
is just 2.5 hours west of here, little town at the top of the panhandle.
Cool.
But I haven't, like, I grew up deer hunting, and it was like you shoot the first deer you see, you get your deer for the year, and then you're done. Bear hunted a little bit, like my first big game animal ever. Funny enough, I was 12 years old. My dad had just, for my birthday, got me this Ruger Mark 77, or Ruger 77 Mark II 30-06. And I'm
Nice.
a pretty scrawny dude to this day, so I was like 115 pounds shooting a 30-06 that I couldn't even hold upright. I'm still working to this day on getting over flinching with a rifle because of that 30-06. But my first big game animal before I killed a deer, anything, family friend said, "Hey, let's go black bear hunting." And I was like, I didn't like hunting that much, to be honest with you. Like, we had been out a couple times with my dad grouse hunting, following him around, like hunting deer and that kind of thing. But it was cold, you know. If you stepped on a twig, dad's turning around and saying, "Are we still hunting or are we going home?" You know, that kind of thing. Wasn't
So your dad
that
was super
fun?
intense?
Not super intense, like that's, I'm playing it up for the
Yeah.
joke, but no, it
But do
wasn't the
you
funnest
think
thing in the
I,
world.
that do you think that like contributes to kind of like some of your like disposition to like
Trauma? No,
maybe like
I'm
your dad
joking.
was a little like he needed to lighten up a little bit and maybe that's, you know, kind of created some daddy issues in you and now you're
I'm not taking it that far, no, because we had a ton of fun with dad too. And some laughs, and you know, the best joke in the world was being like 10 years old, and we're all, me and my brother, serious looking for deer, and some does pop up on the hill, and we're begging him, "Shoot it, please, just, we want to experience this." He's like, "There's no bucks." And then my dad just farts super loud. It's like, "Did you hear that buck?" And then we're just crying, laughing as kids. You know, we've all heard that joke now. I still do that joke with my friends, you know. So I'm not trying to paint the guy like he was an asshole, but no, it just wasn't that fun yet. So when I got asked to go black bear hunting, I'm like, I've never seen a black bear in my life. We're never gonna find one. Ended up killing like a record book cinnamon phase giant black bear. To this day, it's the on the third day of hunting, just after school, getting picked up, and so big we thought it was the guy I was hunting with, who's killed 100 plus black bears in his life, said, "Oh my gosh, there's a grizzly 40 yards in front of us." And you know, I've never seen a bear in my life. I'm 12. I can't even hold my gun up. I'm so scrawny. And I'll never forget just son being on this bear's back, he looked bright blonde. He still has like blonde patches in him. Just the most beautiful, biggest bear I've ever killed in my life. And walking straight toward us with that big swagger, I'll never forget it. And family friend, his name was Wally. He passed away a couple years ago. Rest in peace. But he's like, okay, confirm that's a black bear. Look at, he's walking like he's king of the earth. He has no idea you're about to kill him. And I just remember this like primal feeling that I don't think I've ever had to this day of, I don't know. That's when everything kind of clicked for me. I was like, this is unreal. And he put his head down. I shot him right at the base of his neck. And I'll never forget, you know, I have no idea what's a big bear. What's, I just remember like, cool. It's like red and blonde. How cool is
Yeah.
that? Walked up to him and Wally, who was like in his 60s at the time, said, he just stops and like his shoulders kind of slump. And he goes, Dylan, I've been hunting my whole life for a bear like that. And you just got him as your first one. Like, just the coolest thing ever. But all that to say, like, never hunted elk. We just didn't
Wait,
know what we were
hold on.
doing.
Going back, I was looking up. Do you have his bear skull still?
I do. It's in the garage. Can I grab it?
If you want, sure. I was gonna ask you what he measured.
Oh, 19. He was right under 20.
Okay. 20 is
So he would have
Boone
been
and
Pope and
Crockett.
Young. Yeah, he would have been Pope and Young,
Nice.
if I shot
That's
him
a
with a
big
bow.
bear.
For, yeah, the Northwest, yeah, he was over 350 pounds. We took him out whole on a four-wheeler.
Yeah.
And just to this day, the biggest bear. I've been looking for one like that for a long time and
Yeah.
got to kill him at 40 yards, my first big game animal ever. So I was like, dude,
That's
I'm the best
wild.
hunter in the world. And then it took me, I was 12. I didn't kill my first deer till I was 17.
Well, were you hunting pretty hard?
Yeah, just, I mean, every year, like, again, just with dad, I still had no idea what I was doing. I didn't understand like the fundamentals of, hey, idiot, get a solid rest. You know, the only time we shot a rifle was like zeroing them, you know, 3 to 5 shots
Yeah.
before season. Didn't understand how to make a good trigger squeeze. Still barely do. This is, I'm learning all this now, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, took me 5 years to kill a deer. I don't know how many deer I missed and was just so beat up and discouraged and bummed out. And I hated seeing the look on my dad's face after missing. And he's trying to console me. I'm like, I suck at this, man. Like, I should give up. And yeah, so I go from killing like this just hank of a black bear. I won an award for biggest bear of the year that
Wow.
year. And I'm like, I'm an award-winning hunter, dude. Like, it's gonna be like this year after year. And no, then it was just 5 years of missing like 2 to 5 deer a year, I swear to God. Yeah, but I remember asking my dad because I had friends that would elk hunt. I'm like, let's go elk hunting. And my dad was just like, I don't know where to go, man. I don't
Yeah.
want to hike that far. I was like, yeah, that does sound kind of terrible. You know, it doesn't sound very fun. And so I didn't get into, in my opinion, like true Western hunting until my 20s, like after college. And so I killed my first elk, that little guy on the wall that this white tail is almost bigger than. Took me 10 years, took me a decade to kill my first elk. And it was a lot of, yeah, starting way later in life and trying mostly to figure it out on my own. And that learning curve is pretty steep, especially where I live. The elk numbers are not great.
Yeah.
You can find them with a bow, but took me like 5 years to really understand situational calling and the right sounds to make. Because, you know, you first get out there, you hear like a half-hearted bugle and you just, it's time to challenge him.
Yeah.
You know, like, why can't I kill elk? And took 5 years then consistently getting elk close and then falling apart on the shot or not drawing at the right time. So just all these heartbreaking mistakes. I've still never killed a bull with my bow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't fall in love with hunting until I started going alone and figuring it out by myself and realizing like, oh, I can make whatever decision I want here. And The other thing, like I've if you couldn't tell already, I have super bad ADHD. And so doing like I've felt like just the laziest loser my entire life, just not having executive function to be able to do the things I don't want to do, if that makes sense. And never
Wait,
knew
say
what
that
that
again?
was.
You felt lazy doing what?
I felt lazy my whole life because my brain would not allow me to do the things I did not want to do.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
And
okay.
so my whole life, like, you are lazy, you're never going to do anything. And you believe that. And then you discover what ADHD is. And it's like, oh, I'm not lazy. My brain just sucks. And oh, here's all these things we can do to fix it. And that's just been since October. So I went 34 years of my life being, feeling that way. And now in just the last couple months, like my page has I'm up like 6,000 followers, more brand deals, all this stuff I'd been putting off and dreaming of but never doing, I now have the ability to do because we're on the right meds, therapy, and all these like tools, diet, sleep, where I've learned how to, control my brain a little bit better. I feel like a completely different person. It's amazing.
What was the
But
stuff that you didn't want to do that you've started doing or figured out how to do that's led to that success, you think? Or like, yeah.
not procrastinating videos. I have had, creative video ideas or, a merch line I wanted to do, and the classic ADHD person is the dreamer with no ability to follow through. So now I'm just following through on everything that I wanted to do and doing it all like I don't have to fight my brain as much anymore. If you don't have ADHD, it sounds insane, but that's the biggest problem with it is you just lack, they call it executive function, the ability to do what you know you need to do, but because this task doesn't give your brain any dopamine, it'll push it off until forever if there's no like due date, if that
You're
makes
right.
sense. So that's all it is just doing the things that are in my head and written down and just being able to think about it and do it and not have it be a multiple month long fight anymore. But I say all that because with hunting, it was when I started hunting by myself, it was the first time that I could beat my brain, if that makes sense. I could go, I'm exhausted. I have not eaten enough calories, but I'm going over that next ridge. Screw it. Let's go. And that's when I really fell in love with it. It was like, I felt like I was in control of myself in the mountain. So pair that with not taking myself too seriously, having more fun with it. It was the most freeing experience of my life to fall in love with hunting the West, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I guess what do you think is like, 'cause I mean we all have to do stuff that we don't want to do. There's all of us have to do stuff that doesn't give our brain dopamine, like, and I just being totally open here with you, like I was prescribed stimulant ADHD medication as a young person, and yeah, it made me more productive, but in the long run, it actually like trashed my life. And then at some point, like I had to learn, like, okay, yeah, I don't want to do this, but like I freaking have to do this, so I'm gonna
What's
do
the
it.
option?
Yeah, like so how do you juggle that, or like what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing was, 34 years not knowing anything about it. People hear ADHD and they go, oh, you're a squirrel. Oh, I can't focus on anything. No, I can focus on I can hyper focus on the things that reward my brain. So just knowing that about my brain, then you're able to go, okay, I know why I'm gonna push this off, but I've lived long enough now to know what happens when you push that off.
Yeah.
And then just through therapy and understanding how the ADHD brain works, just having that knowledge helps you in the long run too. So I am on stimulants now for the first time in my life, the lowest dose you could possibly get. And so far, so good. But I'm also aware of like long-term side effects and that kind of thing. But I'm not relying on the stimulant. It's more of just having an understanding of who I am, and that there's so much shame and guilt that comes from, feeling like you're a lazy piece of shit your whole life. And so being able to take that shame and guilt off me, that's enough freedom to be able to like see what needs done and do it. So it's a whole, it's not just like meds will fix it. No,
Yeah.
it's that, it's exercise, it's the proper diet, it's sleep. For me, my faith is the most important thing in my life. It's this well-rounded circle. My wife is the hardest working, most badass woman on planet Earth. And for her to read and understand how my brain works too. So now instead of that being like a friction point, she's learned ways to be supportive and like encourage, which has been huge. So yeah, it's a whole circular approach to anything, whether it's like a mental challenge or like a diagnosis or just character flaws. Yeah, I just feel so much hope and freedom. And I wish I would have learned about this when I was 15 and not 34,
Yeah.
Didn't mean to take the podcast here, but here we
No.
are.
That's all good. Yeah. So what I guess do you have a like I hate saying this 'cause I just hate saying it, but do you have a quote unquote real job or do you have another job or like
Oh yeah.
what's your other job?
Yeah, so I was in full-time ministry, like vocational ministry for a decade. Thought I was going to be a pastor. One day woke up and realized I think this is a dream that other people have put on me and not one that God's put on me. So after 10 years, yeah, I thought I was going to do that my whole life. So I've just been bouncing around job to job since 2020. Had a couple I liked, had a couple that were terrible, but I think it was around 2020 I realized like, oh, I don't care what my career is. I love hunting, I love music, and a job. It's perfectly okay to have a job that just funds what you actually love to do. Like my job choice does not have to define who I am. A lot of people have realized that a lot earlier than I did. I'm a slow learner if you haven't picked up on that, but so now I'm working. I just got done with like 6 months of just hunting and surviving off of, $1,000 here, $1,000 here from hunting sponsorships. And this last 6 months was the poorest we've ever been. Like you look at it on paper and it's like, how are we alive? How is this working? My wife works at our church. And so we were surviving off of one church salary, which churches
It's
don't
not a
pay that
lot.
good.
No, I know.
Yeah, no one gets into that for the money. And it was the happiest we've ever been, ever. And so now I just picked up a real job again. I'm working at an electric bike shop in Whitefish, Montana. Awesome people that run it. They're selling the same bikes that I've been using and hunting with since 2021. So selling them is like second nature. And they're just really cool with, I'm doing the whole trade show circuit with the sponsor, and I'm gone 1 or 2 weeks out of the month. And I just got this job, and they're like, no, dude, go. Like, we're going to support you with what your actual dream is, and we'll be here when you get back. So I just feel
Nice.
super fortunate about that. But yeah, I sling electric bikes.
Sweet man. So yeah,
And
what?
with that, I'll say this too. For the last 2 years, hunting has completely paid for itself. Being able to hunt out of state on like a sponsor's dime, I make enough. It's not much. Obviously, like not a. There's a ton of money in the hunting world, but it's hard to like make a living
Oh
in the
yeah.
hunting world. It takes a long time. I'm sure you know that. But hunting's paid for itself the last 2 years. And I tell people, like, if that's all this ever is and it goes away in a year, like, I'm good, man. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Like, gas and travel. And I've made enough from contracts to be able to hunt and not have it be a giant burden to my family. Like, if that's all it ever is, that's
Yeah.
enough. Now, obviously, the goal is, wow, if someday I could hit like X amount of dollars and be able to do this full time, and when it's not hunting season, like pick the kids up and drop them off from school every day and give my wife a break, like, man, that would be pretty cool. But if that never
Yeah.
happens, I'm pretty content.
Yeah. Yeah, people don't realize like the amount of like you might look at me from the outside and be like, "Oh, he just hunts." No, like 60% of my time spent last year was sales. I was basically doing sales, but instead of selling widget, I was selling my dream, which is a lot more fun than selling a widget. But yeah, man, it's not easy. That's the same thing I told myself when I got into it. I was like, I'm gonna try this, and like, if I quote unquote fail by the world standards, I still win. Like, okay,
Yeah,
I
man. You
failed,
went for it.
but I went for it. Yeah, and maybe the most I can say is that I had two or three like sick hunting seasons and whatever. Like, that's like this is America. You're not gonna like starve to death if your business doesn't work out for the most part. I mean, so yeah, it's like just go for it. So that's cool, man. Like we actually have a lot in common. I don't know if you know this, but I worked in full-time ministry for a while.
Oh, no way. What was
I
your department?
well I worked for a Christian I worked for the Christian Broadcasting Network.
CBN, baby. I
Yep.
still have some buddies that, over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I worked there for
Jared
7 years.
Newman. Did you ever know Jared Newman?
Wait, Jared. The
He was a
producer?
video guy. Yeah, he was a producer. Do you
Tall,
know him?
handsome,
Yeah. Yeah,
smooth
he runs
face.
that like hunting journal app now.
We might be thinking of someone different because this guy did not hunt, I don't think. But I had shared my guy next to the cubicle next to me. His name was Jared, but I don't know if that was his, if it was a different Jared, maybe. But anyway, I worked there for 7 years, but I was doing video and I was a videographer and then I was a producer. But then I left there and then I was the online campus pastor for my church for like 2 years. And it was funny because I like accepted the job and then like literally like a month after COVID shut everything down, so the entire church went online. So that come and then also coupled with horrendous human resources at the church, which most churches have horrendous hu human resources. You probably know that. And my discovering Western hunting meant that I was not long for that world, and so I was there like 2 years, and then I transitioned to what to doing this full time. But also, I've been playing drums in my worship team since I was like 14.
Dude,
I play in this week.
I'm playing this Sunday too.
Nice.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome,
So,
man.
and yeah, I was trying to like I basically was a mu I mean. You can say quote unquote professional musician, I guess. I mean, I didn't have any other job, but so I guess you could say I was air quotes a professional musician
Heck yeah,
f
dude.
like from
That's awesome.
college for like the first 3 or 4 years after college, until I, well, anyway, long story. But yeah, so all that to say,
Dude, we'll have to hop on a phone call and I want to hear all about this. That your listeners do not care about this right now, probably, but that's
I mean,
crazy,
go
man.
for
I
it.
didn't know you played drums too. I've been
No.
playing drums since I was 12. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, me too, man. But did you have something you wanted to ask me? Because it's, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how much you want to get into about human resources in church, but we'll save that one for later, because
Okay.
that could get weird. What church do you go to now? And where are you at? Are you in the
I'm in now I live in Northern
Midwest?
Virginia. I'm like 40
Oh,
minutes from
awesome, man.
DC. So we go to a church called National Community Church.
Okay.
Mark Batterson is the pastor. He's like a best-selling author. It's a really cool
Yeah,
church.
I've heard of Mark. That's
Okay.
awesome.
But no, that was not where I worked. I worked at a church called Trinity that was in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Okay. That's
So,
sweet, man. Super cool.
yeah. So okay, I guess what is your what's your goal? What's your dream, man? Like what? Yeah, or plan slash dream slash goal.
That's such a good question. Someone just DM'd me that today. What is your dream? And this all happened by accident. I never would have, I didn't start making fun of myself on the internet hoping for brand deals, right? So this all just kind of, I hate to say it, but just happened, like fell in my lap. And I've been very fortunate to make friends and make friends quickly with people that are at a place where I would love to get to someday, that are making a full-time living, getting the coolest opportunities, traveling all year to go on hunts, who have just given me so much advice. So I just feel very lucky and fortunate. So I feel like I'm already living the dream. Like I told you, like I'm content. Like I'm not, I don't have this goal of like, man, I'm gonna make quarter million a year hunting, and maybe I should have a loftier goal, but there's part of me too that's afraid to make this my full-time job, because I've talked to a lot of guys that have been in this industry for 15, 20 years, and some of them are really burned out and like sick of it, and they don't want to carry a camera into the woods anymore. And so I don't know, if I had to boil it down, my main goal is to take 20 hunters or 20 people that have never hunted a day in their life deer hunting. And I'm going to do a YouTube series on that. I'm calling it the rookie season.
That's cool. 20
And
people in one
that's
year.
no, just total. Like that's the
Okay.
first goal.
Yeah.
I want to do like 3 to 5 a year
Cool.
and just do, teach them how to shoot a rifle. Take them out into the woods for a day or however many days they give me and try to get them their first deer. And people that have never hunted a day in their life. And I have people I'm taking out this next fall that are computer engineers, the biggest nerd anime lovers, like this Asian dude with one hand, who's the best musician I've ever heard. Like just people from wild backgrounds. Just to my goal is to show like, hey, we all know hunting is not for everyone, but it could be for you. So that's the main goal is to, and then the plan is get all the sponsors on board, and at the end of every episode say like, hey, do you think hunting's for you? And if it is, just kit them out head to toe with everything they need to go be able to hunt and provide for their family. So that's my goal, is to get new hunters into the sport that would maybe have never thought about it, or they feel, I have so many DMs from people like, dude, I've wanted to hunt so bad for like the last 5 years, but I feel so intimidated. I don't know who to take me. I don't want to get yelled at a gate because I don't know etiquette. Every kind of excuse that you can think of, I've heard. So it's like, oh, I have an opportunity here to show people hunting doesn't have to be this intimidating thing. So if I can do this YouTube series, the rookie season, and show lots of people like, hey, you can go through hunter safety, you can learn how to shoot a rifle, you can find state land and go put great meat on the table for your family. That's the goal, is to get new hunters into the sport. As far as personal dreams, yeah, someday I could make a full-time living doing this. That would be awesome, just to have more time. But that's, I don't know. I don't know if I'm thinking about it the wrong way or if I should have loftier goals, but there's part of me that's like, if you made this full time, your full time gig, like, is it gonna suck some of the fun out of it? And that's like your whole brand. So I don't know. I'm kind of taking it a day at a time and just trying to make people laugh and remind people that hunting is fun and that's enough.
Yeah, I mean,
I
it
started
can.
this merch brand, Elk Don't Exist, and the reception to that has been insane. Last month I did $10,000 gross off
Nice.
of with zero marketing. You know, I did a video that got a couple million views, and it was me complaining about how hard elk hunting is. And for some reason, people thought it was funny. It was just me being upset, to be honest with you. And I was wearing my Elk Don't Exist hat, and someone said, "Hey, where'd you get that hat? I need it." And I just said, "Oh, links in my bio." And then just so people are grasping onto the brand. And yeah, if I could scale this, grow this, that would be really fun. And again, not to make a bunch of money, like the margins on that $10,000, I made $1,600, you know, so the
Yeah.
margins aren't good.
Right.
But it's again, it's more like buy-in to remind people, dude, this is the funnest thing in the world, and we don't have to take ourselves so seriously. So,
Yeah.
yeah, all that to say, I don't know what my dream is quite yet, and I
So
think that's
like,
okay. I'm
yeah,
just having
no,
fun.
it's yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, so you're kind of, I guess you're kind of the place you're wrestling with. Do you actually want to do this full time? Kind of deal.
Yes, I want the time. Like again, this last 6 months, every day I hunted more this last year than I ever have in my life. Over 80 days in the field, 35 days for elk, and finally killed the first legal bull I had seen, other than calling in a couple for my buddies during archery, which was awesome too. But I got to hunt so hard and so often, I'm like, okay, how can I make this happen? You know,
Yeah.
because the time having the time is, I mean, we all know money and time, right? That's always the
Right.
debate, preferably both. But how much money do you need to be able to have all the time in the world? And in the hunting industry, for a smaller creator like myself, it's going to be years before I can make like a substantial living, I guess. So I don't know. That's kind of what I'm wrestling with now. But, and yeah, like I said, if it does become full time and there's more contractual obligations, and this be starts to feel like work, will that kill the joy? I'm in a lucky place because I don't have to kill, you know? It's kind of, I feel like I scammed the system. You know, like everyone knows me for a guy that can't fill tags and is just a silly goose. So I don't have the pressure of like I have to kill on camera to make a living. So that's nice. But like I tell everyone, like I suck at hunting, but the goal is not to suck forever. Like I want to
Right.
get
Well,
better and
do you
better
worry
every
about
year.
like the long-term sustainability of your brand if like your thing is like I suck at hunting, but like what if you get good at it, or what if brands are like, okay, it's kind of funny, but like, we do want to have somebody that has some authority in this, in what they're talking about here,
Then
and
I'll
if
immediately quit working with those brands.
okay.
No one's going to change what I do or who I am. And that's why I keep my I had a bunch of sponsors and I cut a lot of the fat out. And I have three. Only two of them are paid and they don't pay that much, but they're people that have believed in me from the beginning. Like Tricer Tripods, I'm doing all the show big shows with them this year. They picked me up when I had like 900 followers and two videos that were kind of funny. And they just saw what I was doing right from the jump. And I've been with them for 2 years now. And that's the goal, is to keep the sponsorship circle extremely small so that I can put all my, you know, advertising brain to them and not be stretched too thin. I never want to turn my page into a billboard.
Right.
And you know, I'm sure you have stories of how quickly a sponsorship can go away. Like
Oh, yeah.
one marketing dude that you have years of history with quits or gets promoted or moves to another company, new person comes in, bro, I'm the first to go. I'm a dumbass. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't belong here, you know? So,
Yeah.
like, I
They
don't want to rely on
definitely.
all my income from sponsors. And that's why I'm trying to build my own brand. I'm starting a podcast here soon. We'll see how
Nice.
that goes. Yeah, dude. It's fi sponsorships are fickle, so I don't want to have to rely on those. I want to roll with companies that are ride or die with what I do. So if anyone ever tries to like change my content, like, hey, it's been fun, but no thanks.
Yeah.
But yeah, the goal is to be a better hunter, and hopefully the people that have been following me since day one can slowly see my progress, and then I'll be able to like bring those people with me and be
Yeah.
able to teach them some stuff someday. But even if I do become a top 1% killer of killers, it's still all going to be about having fun and being a dumbass and just enjoying every second of it. So
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a good spot.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, when you get to that level where you are making enough to cover your expenses and pay yourself a decent salary, I mean, it is work at that level.
Yeah.
There are parts of it that are. The lucky thing for me is like I enjoy every part of it. Because like I said, I hate sales, but if I'm selling my show, my dream, myself, I don't hate it. It's like almost like another challenge, another hunt for me.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, I mean, to get if if you're at that level, there's going to be a lot of, like I said, I think 60% of my last work last year was sales. And then there's a lot of editing involved. There's a lot of just stuff
Oh.
and which I love editing, so I also feel like I was made to do this, and I'm like walking in my purpose right now. So even the stuff that I like don't really want to do, I still like even the parts of the job that quote unquote like from the outside looking in suck or like are less fun, I actually still really like.
That's awesome.
It's just like varying degrees of how much I like it, I guess. But yeah,
Sure.
super blessed, man. But it's still work. I mean, there's still stuff I do that I don't always want to do, for sure. And but yeah.
Are you editing all of your own videos, or do
So
you have people that will help you out?
my first two seasons, I edited everything.
That's so much. I hate editing so much. That was my main job in church. I was a video
Oh,
director
really?
for close to 10 years, and dude, I'm sitting on like nine hunts worth of footage. I haven't started editing any of them, mostly because I don't have a computer. Like, I'm trying to share with my wife, but
Yeah.
she's busy in the church world, and so yeah, when my contracts are renewing this year, hopefully getting a little bit more money so I can
Yeah.
put some back into the business.
Yeah, you need a proper tool, just like anything else. Like if you don't have
Exactly.
a proper tool, like it's not. So yeah, I start off doing and like, but dude, editing 10 hunt films a year by yourself and doing everything else I was doing, it's like it's not manageable. So this year I'm gonna edit two, maybe three episodes, and then I'm working with a good friend of mine who has a production company in the outdoor space,
Awesome.
and they're gonna basically do rough cuts, like 30-minute long rough cuts. I'll finish them off and then make those YouTube videos, and then I'll cut it down to 22 minutes for the TV show. So
Awesome.
a little streamlined.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, man. So yeah, you mentioned your faith, obviously, or not obviously, but that's a big part of my like story and journey and life as well. Did you grow up a Christian, or did you have a conversion story, or?
Yeah, I didn't grow up a Christian. As like a high school kid and junior higher, was a self-proclaimed atheist.
Yeah.
I was just dumb and angry,
Yeah.
still am. But there's more grace involved now, right? No, it was right after high school, new church came to town, heard like the gospel clearly for the first time, and that was kind of it for me. Ended up going to Bible college a year later, studied every verse of the Bible, learned how to read the Bible, contextual, historical, looking at all the evidence from manuscript evidence to archaeological evidence. And that's the stuff that's kept my faith more than anything, is seeing why you can trust the Bible, learning how to read the Bible, learning how to filter sermons and, good theology and doctrine. So yeah, it wasn't a big dramatic thing. It was just like I heard it clearly. I was presented the evidence. I looked into the evidence. It checked out. And
Nice.
yeah, completely changed my life. So I get a lot of flack because I'll cuss in some of my videos, and some people that know I'm a Christian are like, "How can you be a Christian and cuss?" And that's a whole thing too. If it serves the joke, I'm saying the F word. I really don't care. I'm not saying F you, F them, F
Right.
this. Well, F this to elk hunting sometimes when it's warranted. But no, for years I was had this mask on of I'm some spiritual giant. I'm preaching to thousands of people. I'm traveling to preach and getting paid for it, and had this mask on of like I have to appear perfect.
Yeah.
And so now with this, the hunting stuff, I feel like I could finally just take the mask off and be me, like how my best friends know me. And it's been so freeing and so rewarding. And the coolest thing about all of this is, I just led a kid to the Lord through Instagram, last week, and I just
Nice.
sent him old binos and a bunch of gear, and some sponsors are sending him stuff to help him out. And like, God can even use this, to reach people. And I'm
For
reaching
sure.
like blue collar dudes that'll never talk about their mental health but have been silently struggling for years. I've got 50 plus DMs of guys that were planning to kill themselves that are no longer doing that. And like, God can even use like this silly dumbassery to reach people that maybe otherwise would never step foot in a church or hear the gospel. But because I'm just being myself, I'm able to reach people, man. Like, how cool is that? Like, and
Yeah.
that was a big wrestling point for a long time. It's like, how do I balance the comedian in me and the Christian in me? And those things don't have to be mutually exclusive. And that's been really, really cool to see, man.
Yeah, for sure. Cool, man. I think I asked you about most of the stuff that was on my list. I don't know.
How did you how do you balance YouTube and TV? Is the TV side of things like still going strong, or has that,
Good
I know we're
question.
out of the golden era of hunting TV shows, but
Yeah,
what's the
so
difference between making a YouTube video, which you have more creative control, versus the TV show, I'm assuming?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, same really. I mean, I can they don't have any the TV station doesn't have any like they don't tell me, "Hey, you can't do this or you can't." So I could do honestly, they don't really well, you have to meet a certain level like of standard quality, but no, they don't really like have any creative input. But it's a good question. And something that I feel like I kind of have recently come to a good place on, but I spent most of last year wrestling with that question. So I got into TV because I knew this is what I wanted to do. I knew I had the skills to produce good content. But when I started, and still obviously now, YouTube is so, I mean, it's so saturated, man, with good stuff. I mean, not only is it saturated with good stuff, it's very hard to figure out like what will perform, what won't. I'll put on, I'd get frustrated because I would put on a video that, I spent a lot of time on. The quality is excellent, some cool adventure, and couple thousand people maybe watch it, and then like some freaking, you know, mom with a cell phone recording what she gets at Costco gets like 8 million views, and I'm like, what is going on here?
For
Like, what
sure.
are so and that's, you know, but so I started doing TV though because I knew how to produce a TV show, which I feel like a lot of
Right,
people
you had
didn't.
that background.
Right, I knew what, like, I knew what a music cue sheet was. I knew how to like hit the broadcast standards for exposure and audio and all that stuff. So like I had that, I figured, and so I didn't, you know, I was in a place where I needed to approach brands and get funding to do this, but I had no following on YouTube or Instagram really to speak of. So it's like I need something to like sell. And so I figured, let's do this TV show that kind of give me something, you know, like I can sell the ad space or whatever. And you're right, we're definitely past the golden age of outdoor TV, and you know, stuff is shifting to digital. However, TV still is a viable audience. It's an older, although I gotta tell you, dude, on my analytics on YouTube, the biggest demographic is like 55 and older, which is I don't
Interesting.
understand. But it's a more east of the Mississippi, more a little bit older demographic on TV, but they have a lot of buying power. And so I said, let's just try to do both and figure out how to do both well. So TV kind of got my foot in the door, got me some funding to keep moving. And then this year I decided I'm going to focus, like I'm going to, you know, have the TV show, but I'm going to focus on YouTube and
Cool.
Instagram. And I, man, I had a really awesome growth year this year. I'm not trying to brag, but I had 388% growth on YouTube. I went from like seven or
Awesome,
eight
man.
K to like 33.5 K.
That's amazing. YouTube is so confusing to me, man. I have
Yeah.
zero clue what I'm doing, and I struggle with, I wouldn't have even had a YouTube channel if one of my sponsors wasn't like, "Hey, we'd love to see like a YouTube presence, like we want to see hunts with
Oh,
Dylan,"
yeah.
and I think other people do too. But I struggle with, like, does YouTube need another vlog style hunt?
Yeah.
And it would be dishonest of my brand to go super high production. And I'll get a couple of those a year when, like, my videographer friends come with me on a hunt, and then
Yeah.
we can produce something that's like really higher quality rather. But I've been struggling a lot with, like, how do I find my niche on YouTube? Obviously,
Yeah.
it's personality driven. That's what got me here in the first place, but I'm not that good of a hunter. I don't fill out many tags, and it's me talking into a camera for
Yeah.
most of it. Like, who really wants to see this?
Probably
So I'm
would be like
struggling
your
with, like,
people
vision.
that are already, you know, following you on Instagram. And there'll be some new people too, but that like you said, that know who you are, know kind of like what your brand is and want to see more kind of deal.
Sure.
So yeah.
That's the goal. And I think I'm just really going to tailor everything to brand new hunters. Like, the
Yeah.
most obvious beginner advice ever. Like, I haven't really seen a lot of that, like, hunting 101 type
Yeah.
content.
Yeah, and
And,
that's big right now, and people want to learn, like especially like reaching out to the, you know, the non-hunting community. And I think your idea of the taking new people out is that's a good idea for sure.
awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I just haven't seen a lot of that, and yeah, I'm excited about that, and it gives me more, even more uniqueness to brands, because again, 90% of the hunting world is that have YouTube content. They're excellent, excellent hunters. So if I can constantly be like presenting to the new hunter.
Yeah.
New hunters don't have Onyx
Right.
subscriptions.
Yeah.
Everyone else who's hunted for more than a day has an Onyx subscription,
Yeah. And
or a Go Hunt or whatever.
you can have some authority, 'cause even if you know, even if you quote unquote suck at hunting, you still are no more than someone who's never hunted.
Yeah, exactly. I've been hunting for like 20 plus years, and I'm still basically brand new. So, No, I'm better. I'm getting better and better every year, and that's been
For
really
sure.
fun. But I want to help other people do that. And yeah, I think, I have a lot of footage of me missing animals and screwing up stocks, and hate to say it, like two videos this year where I wound a deer and have to go finish it off. I'm like, that sucks, but I'm going to show it because that's what happens. And oh, the comments are so mean.
Oh, dude. I
Like,
know it.
even if you do everything perfect, someone's saying something, but
Oh, I know. So many so many Monday morning quarterbacks, and most of them are people who would never
don't
have
hunt
the
that
cur
much.
yeah, or like, would never have the courage or physical ability to be even in the situation you were in. And they're like
Correct.
talking like they're some experts or something. That's
Yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, you take it in stride,
You actually
like
engage those people quite a bit. I'm like, I learned
sometimes.
early on, just ignore it because I by my nature am kind of a people pleaser. Like, I don't like it when I know there's people out there that hate me. I'm sure there's tons of people out there that hate me, but like, I don't like that. So like, I just have always found there you can try to disarm, and usually that actually leads to like, I've had a lot of times where I'm like, someone makes it like a nasty comment, and instead of just like popping off in anger, I'm like, hey man, I'm really sorry. No, I don't say I'm sorry. I'm like, hey man, I'm just trying to do my best here, whatever, just kind of disarm. And usually like they're like, oh dang man, like this one guy was
Oh,
like,
sorry.
oh sorry man, like I'll remove that comment, because they like forget you're an actual person. They think they're just like,
Exactly.
and then you're like, and they're like, this one guy was like, oh, I'll delete my comment man, like sorry. And like and I've actually like made some friends like that, but like I learned early on that if you like, retort back, it just never ends well. And like they
No.
end up taking up way too much space rent free in my brain. So I just don't even. Sometimes I'll
So
delete comments, but like even I don't do that too much.
the times where I choose to like, okay, I'm gonna think of a joke that is funny, still kind of like a barb at you, but I do it strategically to get more engagement
Yeah.
because these people are so dumb, they
Right.
don't understand that and
By
they
commenting,
can't
they're
help
helping you.
themselves
Yeah.
and just keep going, and they're not funny, like
Yeah.
I'm making jokes. I've slowed down with that. Because I don't want to come across as like mean, but when someone's telling me, I make a joke making fun of myself and someone says, "You're the worst, kill yourself."
Ooh.
And then I look at your picture and you have a receding hairline and a ponytail, like again, the comedian in me, it's like it's too easy. And I know
Yeah.
you're going to comment like 52 more times and get me another 70,000 views. It's business at that point. Like I
Yeah.
don't hate these people. I'm not
Yeah.
mad at them. They're not getting under my skin. There's only been like two times where like my feelings were genuinely hurt, and it was when like someone who is more or less established in the industry was saying awful
Yeah.
things. But what you realize with like the vast majority of people that will cut you down for anything, you do a little digging, or I'll post like my joke in response to them because my audience, it's funny. I'll get DMs from people like yourself or people that have been in this industry for 10 years and go and show me screenshots from that person DMing this hunter saying, "I'm doing my own thing now. I'd love to collab." It's like, oh, you failed or you gave up,
Yeah.
and you see a dumbass like me, like with a
Just, yeah.
sponsorship, and you're jealous.
Yeah.
Being jealous of me is the most psychotic thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, there's nothing to be jealous of
Yeah.
with me, But that's what you see a lot. It's like, oh, these people are really sad. And then the Christian compassion comes out of you.
For
It's
sure.
like, dang, what was your home life like? Are you
Yeah.
okay? Are So that's why I've kind of slowed down, where it's fun joke practice, like roast practice for
Yeah.
me on very select ones where you realize like this person's not gonna be able to help themselves and I'll get another 100,000 views out of them.
Yeah.
But I struggle with even thinking that way. Yeah, so I'm trying to slow down on that for sure.
Yeah, for sure, man. My favorite recently was I got a comment on my YouTube video, and it was like, "Geez, I wish people would just put down the cameras and hunt." And I'm like, dude, You are on YouTube watching a hunting
Watching a
film,
hunt.
commenting on a YouTube hunt, saying, "I wish people would stop making hunt films." It's like, are you kidding me right now? So,
The irony.
yeah.
But, and at the, like, dude, when you're retired from all this or your body can't hunt anymore, you've got a lifetime of memories that you
Yeah.
can
Then I'll
show
just
your
whitetail
friends.
hunt.
Yeah, exactly. Like me.
I'm just
That's
kidding.
why I love whitetails so much. I get made fun of all the time for being in the like mule deer mecca over here in the West and targeting whitetails specifically. I get made fun of so much, but like it's the only thing I'm half decent at. Like
Yeah.
oh, I love it so much. And I my ass gets kicked so hard. I lose 15 to 20 pounds every September from just on that elk grind. And
Yeah.
I want to go back to what I know with a rifle in my hand. I don't want to go figure mule deer out yet. I'm not ready.
Oh, they're my favorite, dude. I love mule
That's what
deer.
everyone says. I just, when this is like the only thing that you're consistently half decent at, and you know, you can find 140, 150 inch public land mountain whitetails every year, it's hard to get away from that.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, do what you like, you know? Like
Exactly.
I had a conversation recently with someone and like had been feeling pressure like I need to go start archery elk hunting and I will. And like I filmed archery elk hunts and I see the draw. It's definitely cool. But I
It's
just
awesome, man.
yeah, but
It's so
just for
hard, though.
me, I just love deer more. So I want to hunt. Like I'm doing a hunt this year, late September, muzzleloader deer hunt in Utah. Lord willing, that I draw the tag. I should. It's like, yeah, maybe more. You know, maybe I get more views on an archery elk hunt. Maybe like people say I should be doing that, but I'd rather hunt mule deer. So I'm just gonna do what I want. You know.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's your tag. Hunt it.
Yep. Cool, man. Well, coming up on about an hour here. I'm sure we could chat about a whole lot more, but
Oh, sure,
and
man.
I'm You're gonna be at the expo, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Are you gonna be there too?
Oh yeah, I go every year.
Do you have your own booth there, or
Oh
you just
no, I
walk around?
just yeah, I never get a booth. I just yeah, walk around. I usually do
Well,
about
to
20 miles a day.
Oh yeah.
Literally, I'm like, you'll see me like a million times, just back and forth.
Awesome, man. Well,
Yeah.
to you and anyone listening, I'll be at the Tricer booth. Tricer's got some badass new products coming out that I
Sweet.
would love to show you. And I'm looking forward to meeting you. Anyone else
Yeah.
listening to this, come say hi at the Tricer booth. I'd love to meet you. And yeah, Garrett, thanks for having me on. Or Garrett, Jesus. Cut that out.
Hunter, it's not that hard to
You
remember, dude.
look just like my friend Garrett.
It's okay.
Like to a T. So that's fine.
It's all good,
Hunter
man.
McWaters, I hardly know her.
Dude, I made that joke to my son the other night, and I realized he's way too young. And he was like, "Huh? What?" I was like,
What
"Never
does
mind."
that mean? Who are you talking about, Dad?
Yeah.
My
So,
favorite thing to do is make jokes about the kids' mom in front of the kids. And it goes right over their head. And Caitlin, my wife, just looks at me like, you're an idiot.
oh man. All right. Well, where can folks find you if they want to check out some of your stuff, man?
Yes, on Instagram at Dylan Dietz, Dillon Dietz. Same on YouTube. And, elkdon'texist.com if you are a struggling elk hunter like myself and want to be a part of the Silly Goose Hunt Club, elkdon'texist.com.
Nice. Cool, man. Well, good talking to you, and we'll see you in a couple weeks in
Yeah, sounds good, Hunter.
Utah.
I look forward to it, brother.
Cool, man. Thanks.
Thank you.